let's head to the Vision Homeowners Newsline, where we're joined by ABC News correspondent M. Nguyen in Washington, and a lot of talk today surrounding voting rights, voting legislation as well. We know M., the president, said to speak today, but really he's not getting any wins on both sides of the aisles when it comes to this honest discussion. And let's start with the response and some really pointed words from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, certainly. Good to be with you. So we heard from the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, not only just yesterday on the Senate floor, but Sunday as well. So I'll start with Sunday. He had sent a memo with some rhetoric saying that changing the Senate rules would silence Americans. And then he reiterated that on the floor, on the Senate floor on Monday, where he accused Senate Democratic leaders of trying to bully or berate their own members into changing the Senate rules, saying that would lead to the breaking of rules and the breaking of the Senate. And he slammed the effort to pass the voting rights legislation as fake hysteria, questioning why Democrats needed to push these bills when in 2020 we certainly did see the largest voter turnout in more than 100 years. Of course, the White House is pushing back on that rhetoric, saying, huh, it is ironic, this is from Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, suggesting that Republicans were the ones making it more difficult to vote, and therefore they were the ones silencing the voice of the people. She also questioned why McConnell now is pushing back on voting rights legislation, because she outlined in several instances, such as in 2006, when McConnell had said the Voting Rights Act of 1965 had represented one of the country's greatest steps forward. So Psaki was essentially questioning why now is any different, who's telling McConnell differently than he had felt just a few years ago. And she says, quote, I use those samples to remind people that this should not be a partisan issue.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we're also hearing calls on the other side of the aisle from the Democrats and other activists, especially some out of Georgia, saying, hey, enough talk. It's time for some actual action. And really, we don't need just another stump speech for something that should be taken care of.
Yeah, certainly we heard from some voting rights groups telling, hey, President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, we don't really need you to come here to Georgia to do another speech because we did our part. We got the Democrats we needed in the Senate, and now it's your turn. Right now we need voting rights to pass, and instead of doing another speech, try to get these centrist senators to agree with you and move forward on passing these bills. But, you know, on the other hand, with President Biden visiting Georgia, which the White House officials have said they believe is ground zero for Republican-led election suppression efforts, this is, one, a message to everyone out there that the president will not stop fighting for voting rights, but two, it's also upping the public pressure on the moderate holdouts in the Senate to strongly endorse the changes of the Senate rules, the filibuster, the 60-vote threshold that they need to get passed before they can even advance this bill forward. And so it's doing a couple of things. This visit is doing a couple of things. But again, there's always another side to this conversation. One thing I will say, bringing back a topic from the past, is the multi-trillion dollar social spending bill. In pivoting the president's attention so forcefully on voting rights, it really does open the president up to the risk of another legislative setback, which of course he didn't get the chance to pass this multi-trillion dollar social spending bill. And of course, we will be listening to these remarks very closely. They are expected in a few hours.
Right, right. And certainly, M. Nguyen, here in Colorado, sometimes it's hard to wrap our heads around voting rights and expansion and restrictions, because here in Colorado, for decades now, we've been doing vote by mail, I believe, and with very little problem. And so it's something that here in Colorado, at least, things have seemed relatively smooth with vote by mail, but that hasn't been the case in other states. We need to keep that in mind. All right, M. Nguyen, ABC News correspondent out of Washington, thank you for that report.
Shannon and Andrew. Yeah, thank you so much.